You're listening to Lake Effect on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Joy Powers. Every year, more than 3 million women in the U.S. are abused by their intimate partners, and more than 1,200 are killed by their abusers. Research has found almost one-third of domestic homicide victims contacted the police in the year before their deaths, highlighting missed opportunities to identify victims in danger. The Lethality Assessment Program, also known as LAP, helps women at risk learn their level of danger and trains domestic violence advocates and law enforcement to assess these dangers. In Wisconsin, more than 70 law enforcement agencies and domestic violence programs are already participating in LAP. The Women's Center in Waukesha and the Delafield Police Department are two of them. Lieutenant Landon Nyren of Delafield PD and Jessica Trout from the Women's Center in Waukesha join Lake Effect's Audrey Nowakowski to talk about its impact. Trout starts by explaining the goal of the program.
The goal of the lethality assessment is to reach out to victims who are at a high chance of being murdered by their partner. It's designed to increase the working relationships with community systems. So it enhances the working relationship between law enforcement, domestic violence service providers. It strengthens, you know, the DA's opportunity to prosecute cases, to hold perpetrators responsible and accountable for the crimes that they're committing. And the biggest piece is to connect survivors to services earlier, because we know that when survivors are connected to services, their risk of homicide decreases by about 60%.
That's quite a big margin for sure. So how was the lethality assessment program developed, and what efforts were made to bring it to Wisconsin and between your organizations?
So the lethality assessment itself was developed about 25 years ago out of the Maryland network by a researcher named Dr. Jackie Campbell. In Waukesha, we had been trying to bring this program here for quite a while, but we really got it off the ground in 2018. And it started with a partnership between the Women's Center, the District Attorney's Office, Victim Witness, Delafield PD, and then the Waukesha Sheriff's Department. In 2019, Waukesha PD joined in, and then this year and into 2021, we're hoping to expand into 10 additional municipalities. So it's now that our state coalition does the training, it's a much easier process. In the beginning, it involved a lot of meetings, a lot of talking through processes, a lot of intensive training, multiple day trainings and collaborations, but it really strengthened our working relationships. Since we started here in Waukesha, the state coalition has been authorized to do training. So End Abuse can now do trainings for partnerships around the state, and it's a little bit easier. Plus, since we did a lot of the work in the beginning, the application process is a little bit more streamlined for folks to join in Waukesha County.
And Lieutenant Nyren, what was your beginnings with this program? How did you get involved?
I was contacted by our district attorney's office that wanted to work with the Women's Center to launch the program. And my chief, Eric Kale, was all about getting on board right at the ground floor. And then as a joint effort between us, the district attorney's office, the Waukesha County Sheriff's Department, Victim Witness Services, and the Women's Center, we collaborated for almost a year to put together this program, build everything, and make that team that could respond to these types of calls.
So this question is for both of you. Jesse, we'll start with you on your side with the Women's Center. You know, in your work, are there common misconceptions or inaccurate, quote, warning signs many of us would assume are predictors of homicide when it comes to domestic violence?
Sure. I think one of the biggest things that folks may assume is that individuals who've been murdered by their partner have a long history of abuse. And really what the research indicates is that about 30% of the victims who've died at the hands of their partner, this is the first act of violence. This was the first time that there was a record of there being violence. So we often think of the homicide victim as someone who has this long contact with law enforcement, and that's not always the case. Also, we often get asked the question, well, why don't they just leave? And one of the things that we know to be true is that leaving the relationship and the time after the relationship has ended is often the most violent, and individuals are at the highest risk for being murdered by their partners. The 2019 numbers show a definite increase in individuals who were murdered as they were leaving or just recently after they left the relationship, as well as an increase in friends and new partners being murdered by their former intimate partner. So it's a huge risk factor for folks when they're determining how and when to safely end a relationship and leave.
Now, Lieutenant Nyren, when you or other officers within the Delafield PD were out in the field previous to this assessment program, were there misconceptions within the department of, you know, how to reach out or what you observed that could lead to something more? Was it often just trying to follow protocol of the everyday, you know, before this assessment? What was the atmosphere like and what you had to judge as an officer in the field?
Well, a lot of it came down to what that officer had experienced in their career and their own life. You know, it's all anecdotal until you get something scientific like this. And so we would have field training on handling domestics, and that would, you know, come down to the experience of that FTO, that field training officer. And so, you know, misconceptions could be pervasive. The thought that, why don't they just leave? You know, well, this is the fifth time we've been there. Why do we keep coming back to the same residence? You know, was often there. And then the aspects that we learned through this program of, a lot of times the homicide is the first overt act we know about. And, you know, having these tools really actually streamlined our work and allowed us to gather information in a much more efficient manner. And so, you know, getting past those preconceived notions, you know, that misinformation that can, you know, trickle down through the years, and having a, you know, a science-based method to approaching these was very important for us.
So let's get into that. How do you perform this assessment when you arrive on a call? And to start, does the person at the residence, do they need to consent for this assessment?
Well, it's part of it's at the very end of our investigation on scene. So we go through our entire investigation. We obviously make the scene safe. We render any aid that's needed because those are the priorities. And then as we go through our investigation, when we get towards the end is when we're going to administer this assessment. And it's designed that way. So it's not bombarding the victim early on with some pretty heavy questions. And so it's going to encourage them to participate in the full investigation and then go through with the assessment as that last step. We don't force them to answer anything. It's an entirely voluntary questionnaire, but we are going to ask the questions, not for the simple fact that them hearing these questions, even if they don't answer them for us, they're going to be answering them in their own head. And if they're in their own head ticking off yes to a bunch of questions, it may, you know, get them to realize, hey, I'm in a pretty dangerous situation. You know, these questions are pretty serious, and I'm saying yes, even in my head, to a lot of them. And everything can remain anonymous, even to the Women's Center. They, as a victim, have the right to refuse to identify themselves to any outside agency.
Now, Jesse, do you find that the officers performing this assessment tool in the field, does that help fill a lot of gaps within the whole system, that should someone choose to get involved either with the police department or come to the Women's Center, that this helps bridge those connections a little easier?
One of the greatest benefits of the lethality assessment is the fact that we're using standard language and we're really consistent in our conversations, and it changes the conversation with victims, right? It's very different to hear a police officer tell you that people who've answered yes to these questions have been killed. That carries a lot of weight and a lot of intensity for survivors to hear that. And then to have the advocates reiterate the the same response with the same language that this is really serious and we really, really, really would like to get you connected to safety and resources, really changes how that conversation goes and how folks are able to be engaged. And then as Landon mentioned, it streamlines the work that they do, which makes the process easier all along, all the way up to the district attorney's review of cases.
So what are some of the lethality predictors you look for in the field? You know, some of these questions that are on this assessment tool.
I'm not going to go through it in exact detail. We touch on a lot of topics in relation to controlling behaviors, such as jealousy, controlling telephone use, things like that, weapons in the home, you know, certain factors that associate these behaviors with a high probability of homicide. But there's, it's a 12-point questionnaire. Like Jesse said, we read it verbatim to the victim in order to make sure that it's uniformly addressed and that there's no real interpretation in the questions. They're very straightforward and they can be answered very simply, or they can also be answered, you know, with a yes, no, and, you know, a caveat with additional information that can be used.
And do you find, since using this assessment tool in the field within the department, that victims of domestic violence are taking that extra step to make contact with someone like Jesse at the women's shelter or other organizations?
Absolutely. It's actually been phenomenal, especially for a small agency like ours. Our procedure in the past was to gather the information, complete the investigation, send the reports to the district attorney's office, and then forward information to the Women's Center. In very serious cases, we would contact the Women's Center when we were on site, but that was more, you know, the exception than the rule. What has changed with this is at every single domestic incident, we get the Women's Center on the phone while we are on scene with the victims. That's been huge. Don't know why we weren't doing it before. You know, this was a real eye opener, you know, that just how influential that contact can be in getting them to those services. We've seen, and I'm sure Jesse can speak to this, an amazing increase in the amount of services that have been sought and provided once we started using this assessment and getting that contact right there, right when, you know, this has happened.
Yeah, Jesse, we'll turn to you. What kind of impacts have you seen within your community with this tool?
One of the things that we consistently hear from survivors who've had the lethality assessment administered is that they really felt like the officers were hearing them. They felt like they were listening to them. Even survivors who haven't maybe answered out loud the same way that they were answering in their head, felt that it was a different type of conversation that they were having with the officers, that they felt like they were taking their situation seriously and were seeing what was going on. It's helped us to follow up in real time with survivors. Our goal would be that every officer calls us while they're at the scene of a domestic incident so that we can start that safety planning and getting folks connected to safety. So the fact that it's happening on a consistent basis with Delafield, with Waukesha PD, with the Sheriff's Department has really increased our ability to get folks connected to resources faster and get them connected to more wraparound care so that all of their needs and all of their families' needs are able to be met very quickly.
So to close, what would each of you say to any other counties within Wisconsin or another state that don't yet have this assessment program within their departments?
You know, the simplest thing I would say to any department or county considering the LAP is we're here to save lives, and that's what this does. It's a simple tool. I can guarantee you it does not add any extra work to your workflow. And even if it did, if you save even one life or prevent a homicide or continued abuse, it's worth every minute. People are seeking out the services that will prevent those homicide, will prevent further violence. And it's simply a no-brainer.
I think Landon does the best job selling this. That's why I deferred to him. He's the one that we refer to when we're trying to get more law enforcement agencies to onboard, but it really does. It saves lives and it makes it easier for victims to turn into survivors.
Well, thank you both for sharing a little bit about it today and its impact within our communities here.
Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
Landon Nyren is a lieutenant with the City of Delafield Police Department, and Jessica Trout is the Director of Shelter and Transitional Living Services for the Women's Center in Waukesha. They joined Lake Effect's Audrey Nowakowski to talk about the Lethality Assessment Program.